worship you and I honor you in this place. I worship and I honor you in this place, Lord. May you be glorified in everything that we say and that we do and that we sing. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. I want you to sit down for a minute. I want to talk to you. We just sung this song, I'm Desperate for You. Did you listen to the words as we sung that song? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm wondering, and I'm talking to myself too, boy. I'm wondering how we can truly sing that song. And we can go all week without reading our Bible. We can go all week without praying. We can go all week without asking God any advice, any counsel whatsoever, just living our life the way we want to live. How in the world can we stand here this morning and sing, I'm desperate for you? Do you know what desperation is? I'm not being mean. I'm under conviction. Do you know what desperation is? Desperation is when you got to have it. I watched a message this week about need. A man preaching about need. I thought I was going to use it tomorrow. But I believe I need to use it right now. You think of your life. Now if you take condemnation from this right here, you need to repent. Because I'm talking to you from my heart. Because I'm being dealt with right now. You think about the time when you were in need and you cried out to the Lord. See, the problem is today, and just like his pastor said this week, I listened to his message. He said, the problem in the church is today, we don't have any need. So what are you talking about, preacher? I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about. You got a job. You got a family. You got a church. You go to work. You drive your car. You go home to your nice house. You might have a few little hiccups here and there, but for the most part, we really don't have a need. I've said this, you go to another country, you realize real quick, Americans are spoiled brats. I'm not fussing, I'm just telling you. Are we really desperate for the Lord? See, if we're desperate for the Lord, we cry out for the Lord. We wouldn't have a problem, these people, you know, I say this all the time, it really bothers me, and I'm just being honest. We go to men's conferences, women's conferences, and first thing, everybody wants to be up front and all this stuff. Why don't we do it at our church? I watched Pastor Riggs' church Sunday, and all the kids was up at the front dancing, jumping, praising the Lord. Now, does that mean they're more spiritual than us? Absolutely not. Understand, are we really desperate for the Lord? I'm messing you because I'm messing myself. Can I really make it? Do I know enough scripture? Do I know enough word? Have I been in church enough that I can make it on my own without him? I can't. And if you think you can, you got a problem. But are we desperate for him? We just sung that song. Are we desperate for him? And I'm desperate for you. Every one of you sung that. But are we really desperate for him? Do we put him first in everything we say and do? Can you go the whole week? I'm asking you. Can you go the whole week on your own? Handling things the way you want to handle? Are you going the whole week handling things on your own? Because if we are, church, we're missing it. And I'm just a pastor that's going to be honest. And they sometimes, when I do things on my own, not being disobedient, not being in sin, but just going through life and just making the decisions on my own and doing stuff on my own until I make a bad decision and I realize, hey, stupid, you didn't talk to the Lord about this. But that word desperate, like a man that ain't, have you ever went a long time without anything to drink? And you get desperate for some water. He said, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. That's just sermon number one, okay? I'm just serious. Are we really desperate? I don't want to just stand up here and sing songs, go through the motions, and go home. I want to challenge you this morning. When we leave out of here, I want you by yourself. You can talk to your spouse about it or whatever. But be honest. Be transparent. Get naked before the Lord and say, am I really desperate for the Lord? Or am I just going through the motions? Because it's real easy to go through the motions. Now, if there's anybody upset in here, you got a problem, because I'm talking to me too. I'm a pastor. I know the word. I've been a Christian for 40 years. I can go through the motions if I'm not careful. This weekend, just being in the woods, just being out with God by myself, no stinking cell phone on and all this, just being out there with the Lord, man, he refreshed me. I got refreshed. I got to preach in two different churches. I got to see how blessed we are. Not saying they're not, but I'm not satisfied. And I don't want you to be satisfied. You do an inventory of you. I'm doing an inventory of me. I was doing it right here. I'm doing an inventory of me. Can I honestly make it on my own? I mean, can I? We say no, I can't. But are you? Sermon number one. I say that in love, man, because I'm like, come on, Scott. Don't just do business. Do Jesus. He'll take care of your business. Amen. Go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. As I was in Tennessee, I got to share a lot with Bob Howe. We talked about the Lord every single day, all day. We drove people crazy talking about the Lord. And it wasn't awesome that Jeff Ball had back surgery, but it was awesome that he had back surgery because he could spend time with me. Normally, he's working 60, 70 hours a week. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And we didn't really have time to get together and spend time together. But when I went up there this time, he got to hang out with me. We got to go out to eat a couple times, and we got to talk. And in one of our conversations, and all of our conversations was about the Lord and about what God was doing and different things. But one of our conversations led to this story right here, and it just so happened to be the story right after I preached last week about Jesus touching a man with leprosy. And so as we began to talk about this story, we were just talking, and it's like, you know, we just had like a little revelation of something, and I want to share it with you today. So this is where that message came from. It was sparked out of a conversation with Jeff, and if he's watching, I love you, brother. He's a good dude. I want you to go to verse 15. Jesus had just healed a man with leprosy. It says, but so much the more when there went out a fame abroad him, about him abroad, and a great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. If we're not careful, we'll skip over some words, and that infirmity word doesn't just mean sicknesses. It meant sicknesses, weaknesses, morally, physically, emotionally, all kind of infirmities. There's all kind of infirmities walking this door every Sunday and every Wednesday. There's people that's got infirmities as they come in. There's people that are sick. There's people that are emotionally distraught. There's people that still got stuff that they're dealing with in their past that they can't. There's all kind of stuff going on. That's why we're teaching about the bondage breaker. Because God don't want you to come in here with infirmity. He didn't want them to have infirmities. He healed all of the diseases and all of their infirmities. What does he want to do for us? Are y'all okay? Okay, because I'm preaching better than you talking. So help me out a little bit. He says here in verse 16, what's this? And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. You guys that hunt, you know what I'm talking about. John was hunting this week, and he called me, man. He said, I got someone I want to share from men's ministry Monday night. The Lord just jacked me up. He's in a tree stand. Well, he's in a condo stand. I can't tell you how much praying I got to do in Tennessee. Just me and the Lord and the squirrels and a couple deer. But just being out there in God's creation, that's why Jesus went off to the wilderness. You say it's one of the only times I'll flip my cell phone off. If I'm hunting, I ain't going to boogered a deer up and scared a deer away because of you beeping me in. I might have it set out to where I can see it on my little case there, and if something's bad, then I'll text or do something like that. For the most part, it's me and the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what, he ministered to me like crazy. And Jesus withdrew in the wilderness and he prayed. Now, verse 17, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. Watch this. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Man, I'm like, Lord, we need the power of the Lord to be present in this place to heal people. What did he heal them of? Their infirmities. Not just sicknesses, but all infirmities. Sin, brokenness, hurt, all this stuff. He healed them of everything. There was people came in and met Jesus, and they left out knowing Jesus and healed. Amen? And it says here, keep going with me, that it says that he had the power of God was present to heal. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy. Now, this is what me and Jeff talked about this morning. I called him, well, I texted him this morning. I said, listen, we was talking about palsy. I want you to tell me what you found. I'm going to tell you what I found. Or basically, what did you find about palsy when you studied it out? And I want to read this. I studied this out, and he sent me one of the Hebrew Greek type deals that he had looked up, and it talked about palsy. Every one of them talked about somebody being paralytic. But listen to this. This is the situation that the man found himself in. The loss of sensation or the power of motion, the loss of sensation or power of motion, or both in any particular body part. Watch this. It affects either the motor skills, the motor sensors of the brain, or the spinal cord. Watch this. Partial or total death of muscles and nerves. Yeah, that is messing you up like it did me. I sent that to Jeff. I said, did you see that right there? In other words, this man was laying there and his legs or back or something was dead. His muscles and his nerves were dead. He was in a bad place. Would you agree he's in a bad place? I see Bertha back there. Bertha, you remember the young man when we went in there and he made the furniture. His leg was basically dead. He'd flop his leg around like a wet noodle. That's what it looked like. His leg, it was about that big around. His other leg was big, about that big around. And he flopped his leg around like a wet noodle. And that's exactly what I thought about this morning when I found this definition of the muscles and the nerves being dead. This guy was in bad shape. But look what happens. It says here, that, and behold, the men brought him in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy. And they sought means to bring him in, listen, and to lay him before him, before Jesus. These guys wanted to take him to Jesus. Now watch this. And when they could not find a way in, by what way they might be to bring him in, because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch, or as a cot or a bed, some say it was a sleeping mattress, into the midst before Jesus. We've all heard this story. Other translations says they start pulling the house apart, basically. There's some things that I studied about, and they had stairways that go up to the top of the roof, and they had these little rails that go around where people wouldn't fall off. But they also, some of the places, had this little bitty trap door. Well, evidently, the trap door wasn't big enough, so they start pulling it apart to lower their friend down in the midst of Jesus. So these guys took him to Jesus. I'm going somewhere. Some of you may be bored right now, but you shouldn't be, because listen to this. Verse 20, and when he, talking about Jesus, when he saw their faith, Whose faith? Now, we can't say that the man that was paralyzed didn't have faith. He said when he saw their faith, the four that carried him and the man on the cot, he saw their faith. Now, let's think about this for a minute. I believe, this is what I believe, and we'll find out when we get to heaven, because I'm going to ask the old dude. I'm going to look him up and I'll say, look, I want you to tell me what happened. I believe he'd heard about Jesus, and he'd heard that Jesus was healing people's infirmities, and he'd healed other people. So he's thinking, I'm going to beg these guys to take me. So he found four people that were willing. They might have been friends. They might not have been friends. They could have been just people standing out there. And he says, look, take me to Jesus. But they had faith because they picked him up and they carried him in there. They couldn't get through the door. Matter of fact, Mark says that the door was blocked, so they went around and lowered this guy down. Do you know how hard it would be to lower a man? I don't care how little he was. I was thinking about Matt. Matt's 135 pounds soaking wet, maybe 160. I don't know, but anyway, he ain't real heavy. But I've grabbed him around, and so he wouldn't be easy to be let down through a roof. But I imagine this guy convinced him, look, I'm desperate. He had a need. I bet he didn't mind asking somebody to carry him to Jesus. Now, he might have been tripping when they started walking him up to the roof. Or he might have said, come on, take me up there and drop me off. I don't care when I hit the ground, I'll be all right. I don't know what he said, but I'm going to find out. But these guys took him to Jesus. But as I go on, I'm going to show you what we found out. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, the man on the mat, he said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. I can imagine, I've preached this before, Jesus sitting there and stuff starts falling down his head. He's like looking back. He knows what's going on. Everybody else is saying, man, y'all stop that. What are you doing? Are you crazy? And Jesus is like, no, man, I'm seeing some faith. I got all these people around me. I'm finally seeing some faith. I'm finally seeing somebody with a need. That's what that preacher said. You show me somebody with a need. You show me somebody don't mind worshiping the Lord. You show me somebody don't mind crying out before the Lord. You show me somebody don't mind coming up to this altar and crying and weeping before the Lord. You show me somebody with a need. The problem is we ain't got the need. Well, amen? Don't y'all look at me like that. I had a whole bottle of water up here. Listen to what he says. Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Because of their faith, Jesus forgave his sins. Y'all hear what I just said? Because of their faith, Jesus forgave his sins. They took him to Jesus. Now watch this. And the scribes and the Pharisees and all the religious people, I just stowed that in because that's what they were, religious people. Yeah. We are always going to deal with religious spirits, Jezebel spirits and religious spirit, always in the church. You say, I don't believe it. There's some in here. Don't be thinking they ain't. There's people in here that don't like some of the things I've done said. And if you don't, you got a religious spirit. I've heard it before. Well, you ain't listening. It ain't getting down into your heart and your spirit, or you change your mind about it. And the scribes and the Pharisees begin to reason. They begin to talk among themselves, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? He's blaspheming. He's saying he can forgive sins. Who can forgive sins but God alone? They're saying, what in the world is this guy talking about? Hallelujah. I love Jesus. Watch this. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered, saying unto them, what reason you in your hearts? Why you got a problem with this? You've seen all these things that's going on. You should be knowing what the Old Testament said. The Messiah was going to come and do all these things. I'm doing all these things right in front of you, bozo, and you ain't getting it. I feel like it's what the Lord says sometimes, even in our services. We're singing a song. Raise the roof. What was it? I don't know. Raise the roof. Not raise the roof, but we're going to shout and roar or whatever. I don't know. What was it? Yeah, and we was like, heaven came down. Glory to God. We're going to sing it real loud. We're going to praise him real loud. Hallelujah. Ain't nobody got no need. He said he didn't have it to praise of his people. Maybe that's why we ain't getting him down here for revival yet, because we ain't praising him yet. I'm on a roll. Y'all can get mad if you want. I'm just telling you. This ain't the first chosen, frozen church. This is New Vision, Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost, wanting a move of God church. You're looking for the frozen, chosen. You're in the wrong place. But some of you act like you say you want revival. You say you want a move of God, but you ain't willing to move yourself. I'm on a roll today, boy. I had a whole week in the woods. I got all kinds of stuff. Y'all need to send me hunting more often is what y'all need to do. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered unto them, and he said, why do you reason among each other in your hearts? He said, whether is easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee? Because he can just speak that, right? Your sins are forgiven. It's easy for you to say that. You and I can't see that. We can't see his sins be forgiven. Y'all listen to me. We can't see that. I can't see that your sins have been forgiven physically. And they couldn't see anything physically happen with this man when Jesus said your sins are forgiven. They just said it was blaspheming. But watch this. Jesus is awesome. Whether is it easier to say that thy sins be forgiven thee or to say rise up and walk? I bet they'd like, oh my Lord. He's blaspheming, and now he's going to tell us that he's going to have this guy to rise up and walk. Y'all need to put yourself in their shoes. I imagine there's a bunch of religious people that said, yeah, right, he's just a joke. Who's he think he is? Boy, they're getting ready to see, and they still didn't believe. They still didn't listen. Dang. And he says this. Are y'all good? Everybody good? Y'all give me some help here. Some of you act like you're in a coma. I mean, but that ye may know, he said, I'm doing this for you. I already know. That you may know the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. That you may know that the Son of Man, who he said he was, the Son of God, he said that you may know that he has the power to forgive sins. Watch this. This is the revelation right here. He said unto the sick of palsy. He didn't say to his friends. He said to the guy that was on the mat. He said to the sick of the palsy. Watch what he says. And he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee. He ain't talking to his friends no more. His friends brought him to Jesus. Now Jesus is dealing with him. Y'all better listen to me real good because this is a revelation right here. I want you to watch this. The friends brought him to Jesus. Now Jesus is dealing with him. He said unto the sick of the palsy, he's still sick. He's still laying there on the mat. His sins have been forgiven, but he's still laying there on the mat. He's still crippled. He's still got muscles and arteries and veins and everything else, nerves, dead. And he is laying there limp as a noodle. And Jesus looks at him, and he says to the sick of the palsy, arise and take up your bed or your couch and go into thine own house. Jesus said it to him. But this is what happens. Watch this. And immediately he rose up before them. Who? The man with the palsy. The man who's got dead muscles, dead everything. No feelings. Tremors is what the word talked about. He says, and immediately he rose up before them and took up whereon he laid, or the mat that he laid on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Now, this is what I want to show you. Hey, you can take people to Jesus all you want. You can carry people to Jesus. But if they don't accept what Jesus says, then they're done. No, y'all ain't getting this, man. It messed me up. It ain't my responsibility for people to accept Jesus, healing, or anything else. It's not my responsibility. It's my responsibility to take you to Jesus, to put you in front of Jesus, and then it's your responsibility to say, hey, I'm going to get up and walk. Y'all listen, it doesn't say that them four guys got him up. Here, we're going to help you up. Come on, brother. Come on, I know you can do it. You can do it. No, he got up. You know why? Because he had faith. You can take people to Jesus. Listen to me. You can have an addiction, and I can take you to Jesus. I can introduce you to Jesus, and you got an addiction. It's up to you to stop that addiction. It ain't on me. There's people in here right now. You help people. You take people to Jesus. You tell them about Jesus. You show them in the Word. But it's up to them to take up their bed and walk. If you're still struggling with addiction in this church, it's your fault. Ooh, I felt a little religious spirit jump up in here. I'm trying, Pastor, I'm trying. That's good, I'm glad you're trying. But you have the power and authority, if you've asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, to stop it. Is it hard? Absolutely. How many of y'all have ever stopped an addiction with the Lord's help? I ain't never smoked crack. Cigarettes is an addiction just like crack. Tobacco is an addiction just like crack. Y'all can get mad all you want. You was amening me a minute ago. Now I done peed you off. Addiction's addictions. Eating too much. I'm still trying to quit that addiction. I'm doing better, ain't I? I got this slim fit shirt on today. I'm just saying, we can take them to Jesus. They got to do it. I think it's really awesome that Jesus didn't tell his friends, help him up. You know why Jesus didn't tell his friends to help him up? Because he done forgive him of his sins. He didn't need to tell his friends to help him up. He's already healed. He just needed to get up. Some of you, y'all listen, this is a word from the Lord. Some of you, your addiction is already delivered. You just need to get up and walk in it. Oh, Lord, y'all weak as water this morning or either. I'm just so jacked up, I ain't feeling it. You already been delivered. Your sins has been forgiven. You've been delivered. Walk in it. Walk in it. How desperate are you? If, oh Lord Jesus, if you was as desperate to stop as you are desperate to do it, you'd stop. I'm going to say that again because I ain't never said that before. If you are as desperate to stop as you are to do it, you'd stop. Yep. See, you just need to change your focus of your desperation instead of being desperate to go do it. Oh, man, when they go leave, I can go look at the computer. Don't look at me like that. There's people in here right now, you're hooked on pornography. And you think you're hiding it from God. You ain't hiding it from God. He sees it. Oh, when are they going to leave? I got to get on the phone. Gotta have it, gotta have it, gotta have it. What if you get to the place to where you hate it as much as you love it? Well, I ain't even got a clue what the Lord's doing in this place. What's that old saying? If the shoe fits, wear it. Amen. I told Rick's church, Pastor Rick's church Sunday, man, I preached. And I was at one place, and I don't remember what I was talking about. I said, if you don't like it, you can meet me outside out after church, right after church, and we'll talk about it. I for real. I was like, if you don't like what I'm saying, this is the word. If you don't like what I'm saying, because I felt a little bit of, I said, let's just go. We'll meet outside. We'll talk about it. All you won't talk. And I was going around hugging people. Man, they was hugging me. They was treating me like y'all treat people. They was hugging me and everything. And this big old tall guy, we met him at the men's conference. Y'all would know him. He come walking up through there, and he said, I want to go take you outside. So I just grabbed him and started to flip him over in the church. I kicked my leg behind him, and I started to flip him over. He said, whoa, I'm just kidding. I said, well, man, why y'all looking at me like that? He said, man, that was truth. That was preaching the gospel. That was truth, man. And that's the way I feel. This is the truth. This is the truth. Are we desperate? Do we have a need? Or can we just make it? I don't want to just make it. I want to kick the dang devil in the teeth every chance I get. Hallelujah, preacher. Kick him in the teeth. What was I gonna do to get y'all excited? You listening. My mama, she'd be fussing at me after church. She'd be, why do you do that? Why do you do that? They're listening. They're soaking it in. I'm like, come on, mama. You go to ball games and scream like a crazy Chimancy. Y'all ever heard of Chimancy? I ain't neither. I just made it up. Whatever it is, y'all tell me what it is. Comanche. Verse 26. Josh, me and you good at words, ain't we, bro? We get dogged out all the time. What's that word you just said? I don't know. It don't matter. I said it. I got my own vocabulary. Verse 26. And they were all amazed. First, they was calling him. They seen his blasphemy. Now, he says, I forgave their sins. Now, he's walking. He says, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God. They glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Hallelujah. We've seen some strange things today. I pray to God that every time we leave out of this church, somebody says, I saw some strange things today. Can I tell you something? That Jesus is in the strange stuff. No, y'all ain't. He got his attention by busting down the roof. I've seen people in church. Look, you remember blind Bartimaeus? Jesus! And they said, shut up, man. Be quiet. That's Jesus. Jesus! He cried them more louder. Man, you get somebody desperate. This man was desperate. I'm telling y'all, you mark my words, when we get to heaven, he's going to say, man, I had to talk to them guys. They weren't going to carry me down there. They said, nah, man, you're going to bother Jesus. And I had to talk to them, and then their faith built because of my faith was built, and he talked them into carrying him down. You watch and see if that wasn't what happened. I've heard it preached the other way so many times, but I guarantee you that man had faith because he jumped up, didn't he? He jumped right up. Jesus didn't have to say, I said, get up, boy. Like he has to do us. Are you sure you're telling me to do that, Lord? You know what you're talking about? You sure you're talking to me? You got me mixed up with somebody else. You got me mixed up with Nick. He'll do it. And Lindsay. Kayla, you got me mixed up with one of them crazy people. Yeah, truth's the truth, ain't it, Chris? Kayla said, we're going to meet outside. Y'all listen, man. I'm just anxious because I feel like that sometimes we just sit in here and we miss what God's really wanting to do. Because of preconceived ideas and things that we've done in the past. And, oh, he said that before. We desperate. Let's get desperate. If this group right here would get desperate, we wouldn't have to sing about revival. They'd be singing about us. What'd you say, preacher? You heard what I said. They'd be talking about the powerful move of God here. Just like it did in Pensacola. God told John Kilpatrick, you build that pit and I'll fill it. And nobody didn't come. He said, your music's going to go all around the world. Nobody even showed up to play. But one man, and he called him and paid him to play. And the next Saturday night, he's like, Lord, what in the world's going on here? You told me he's going. He said, that's right, and I will fill it. I'll fill it with who I want to fill it with. And what happened with Brownsville Music? Go Google Brownsville Music, Lyndall Cooley. Went all over the world and still is all over the world. You say, you think that could happen here? If God wants it to, it can, but we got to get desperate. And I'm talking to me too. there's a lot of things I like to do, and you know, I can get caught up in things just like you can. We get distracted or whatever. But you say, God knows my heart. God does know your heart. And God knows if we're desperate or not. Please don't think I'm fussing. And I ain't trying to throw more on you. But I'm just telling you. God wants you free. He wants us desperate for him because we need him. Amen. Y'all stand with me. If Jesus Christ can speak life into dead muscles and nerves and all that stuff, whatever you got going on, he can take care of it. Do we believe his word? Does his word not say he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Whatever you have need of, his spirit's here. Y'all bow your heads with me. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you had me preach because I didn't even have this in my nothing. And you're awesome because you don't want to leave us the same way we are. You don't want us to come in here lukewarm and complacent. You want to shake us up so that we can go out and love this world and reach people for you. Man, all around us is a lost and dying world. And we are the ones that you called as the salt of the earth to go out, to minister. Lord, help us to be desperate. Help us to, in the mornings, think about what you'd have us to do. Help us to let you help us make decisions. Help us to listen to your voice and not get the world's voices in us and distractions in us so that we can hear your voice. How many times have we missed you, Lord? Forgive me. Forgive me. Help me to have my spiritual antennas up. Because the truth is in my heart and in my spirit, man, I want to do whatever you want me to do. But when I get all this other stuff going on sometimes, it's not that I wouldn't do it. I just don't hear you tell me to do it. God, help us to be desperate. I love this church. I love the people in this church. You've brought these people here. You're moving. I believe you're moving on all of us. You're helping all of us. You're changing all of us. Some of the stuff is tough to listen to, but it's just truth of your word. And you're wanting to use this church mightily, mightily. Not just around this area. You want to use people out of this church. You want to send people out of this church into missions work, just like we've been doing, but even greater in other things, Lord. You want to raise up a young group of people here, Lord, that will stand for you, that will change the culture that's going on around us, in the schools, at work, difference makers, not pioneers, but trailblazers. Raise up trailblazers in here, Lord, not people that's going to follow, but people that's going to lead. They're going to blaze a trail for your glory. If we get desperate, you'll do that. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to be desperate for you. God, I ask you to move by your spirit. You know who needs to come and pray, and you know what they need to pray about. These altars are open, church. Come, whatever it is the Lord wants you to pray about, whatever it is. You could be trying to bring somebody to Jesus. You brought somebody to Jesus and they ain't listening. I got family members that's like that. Maybe you need to just come cover them with prayer. And maybe you got some stuff that's going on. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, if Holy Spirit is dealing with you and you need to just come pray. Christians, pray. Just come make things right with the Lord. Maybe you're not as desperate as you need to be. Come and say, Lord, fill me. Fill me with your spirit, God, so that I'll be desperate for you. Maybe you need a healing. Hey, come and ask the Lord. Lord, heal me. Heal my body. I want to be like this man. Yeah, they brought me to Jesus, but I want to be the one to say, okay, I'm going to receive what your word says, that by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. And that can be emotional healing. It can be physical healing. It can be whatever you need. So let's take a few minutes and come. And let's worship the Lord together as we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Move in this place, Lord. move in this place, Lord. Holy Spirit, move.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. 'Cause I am found. I am yours. I am loved. And I'm made pure. I have life. I can breathe. I am healed, I am free. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. 'Cause I am found, I am yours, I am loved, and I'm made pure. I have life, I can breathe, I am healed, I am free. 'Cause you are strong, and you are sure. You are light, you endure, and you are good and always true. You are light breaking through. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my strength, Lord. who speak what is true. Speak what is true. Speak what is true.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for speaking what's truth. And God, I'm asking you to help us all. We all have things we got to work on. We all got things that you're going to show us throughout the week that, you know, we need to do better at. Lord, there's some things that we need to do better at, and there's some things we need to quit doing altogether. So help us, Lord. Help me. Lord, may we be desperate for you. As we come in here Wednesday night, Lord, as we go to work, as I go to the prison, whatever we do, Lord, may we be desperate for you to hear what you'd say, to hear what the Spirit would say to the church, and then do it. God, I pray over the worship team tonight as we go into the prison that you'd move by your Spirit in that place tonight, Lord. I pray over the other ministries that's going to be going on this week, God, that you would move by your Spirit. God, I pray that you bless your people. I bless them, Lord, and I ask you to send them out, Lord, that they would bless other people. It's an awesome group of people right here, people from every walk of life. And God, you've given them testimonies. And you said we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we love not our life even unto death. So whatever it is that you require of us, may we be willing to do it. And God, may we love those that others don't love. May we reach those that others deem unreachable. May we equip the saints to do the work of the gospel. And may we be found faithful when Jesus comes back, because we know he's coming back soon. In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord, and we praise you. Everybody said, amen, amen. Hallelujah. I got something I need to do. Y'all hang on. If you have been to the new members class and you hadn't come up front, come up front. I'm not going to forget this time, Larry. All right. If you've been to the new members class and you hadn't come up front, I want you to come up front and I want you to tell who you are. Hold on. Turn them on up here, please, sir. I got it on. He's got to turn you on. Y'all get over here beside him, act like a family. Is it on?
Hello.
There you go. There you go.
I'm Rita.
I'm Larry.
I'm Nick.
I'm Deanna.
And I'm Pastor Scott. Thank you.
Hey, we love all these guys. God's bringing in some awesome people. And I want you to stretch your hands towards this way and let's bless them. Father, I love you and I thank you for your favor on these families, Lord. These are awesome families. Thank you for bringing them a new vision. Lord, I just pray as a church body that we would stand behind them, support them, pray for them, love them. God, I pray that you continue to grow them. I've watched both of these couples grow tremendously, Lord, and I thank you for that. And I thank you for those that have sowed into them and prayed for them and loved on them. And so, Lord, may we not stop that. And then, Lord, as they come into this family, this local body of believers, may they be encouragers and may they pray for others, Lord, and bring others into the kingdom. God, I give you praise. I ask you to bless their children. I bless you to bless everything about them, Lord. Bless them going in, coming out, and everything else. And, Lord, just use them for your glory, the talents, gifts, and abilities that you've given them. May they use them here and in this community, Lord, to bring you glory, because that's what we need to do. We love you, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You guys can come and give them a right hand of fellowship. And don't forget, men's ministry tomorrow night. And if you're going to make a dessert, get with me about it, okay? Love you guys. God bless you.